give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
Give myself away.
To you I belong.
Give myself. so you can use me. I give myself away.
Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for life and life eternal. Let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for life. We thank you for abundance. We thank you, Lord, that your desire is to prosper us in every area of life. Now, God, we thank you for another opportunity to grow and mature and learn of your word. Father God, be with us tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for opportunities in the mighty name of Jesus to understand and to edify our spiritual minds, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So glory to God. May our life bring you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank God for you tonight, virtual Bible study. We know that the word declares the study to show ourselves approved to understand and rightly divide the word of truth. All throughout biblical history, we see the great ones who have gone before us, and it's our season, it's our time to pass on the baton, but we got to know first before we give it to those, amen, in need. The enemy is cunning. The enemy is so crafty. The Bible says he has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And tonight, I simply want to stay with the subject that I started on Sunday. It was a title message that I entitled, Lord Jesus, Help My Unbelief. And I know, you know, right believing will develop right living. Wrong believing will develop wrong living. So it really does depend and relies on what you and I believe.
Amen.
So only God, Paul said, who can save me? Who can save me and deliver me from this dilemma? And he said, thank God for Jesus. And it's just amazing. I'm going to go back to a book that I rarely go to, but you can start turning there, the book of Leviticus, the Old Testament book of Leviticus. It's just one verse I'm going to read out of the book, and then we're going to move on. But I just want to share some thoughts from the book of Leviticus, how things used to be. The Old Testament, which some people not everybody's thrilled about the Old Testament, but there's so much we can learn about the character and the reason why God do what he do and why God, amen, is sovereign and why God has a certain expectation from us as believers. Because truth was to be told, I was listening to a Christian radio this week, and the pastor said something that stuck with me. He said, the pastor that raised him up said, once you interact and learn about people, you'll learn a lot. And he was simply saying, you know, seminary trained, Bible trained, ordained and anointed, but there's something about real people. And he said, there's a two terms that we can use as believers. Either we're Christian people or we are people who are Christians. I'm going to say that again. We are Christian people or we are people who are Christians. And let me just point out the distinction he made. When you say the word Christian, there's an expectation. There's a standard. There's something that you and I strive for because holiness and righteous living is one that people equate to Christian living. And it's not always easy to get there and stay there and live there. So I know I've been around over two decades, and I know, even from my own life and from what I've witnessed, that this walk is not easy. Come on, somebody. This is a journey. That's why the Bible time and time tells us again not to judge anybody. Don't condemn anyone. Never have too much opinion or gossip or talk about anybody's walk with Christ because we don't know. And that's why I want to kind of go to the book of Leviticus to give you and I an idea of sometimes this human nature. sometimes the human condition. I say we are people first, and then we are Christian. Come on, somebody. So I thank God that through Christ we can do all things. Through the renewing of my mind, our minds, we really can be transformed. But that takes time, and it is a process. Amen, somebody. And guess what? Oftentimes we never arrive, because once we get to somewhere, there's something else to learn. There's something else to do. There's something else to change. And you and I are on this journey to please Christ. But look at the book of Leviticus. I was captivated by the synopsis, which is only a few lines, but listen to the description of the book of Leviticus that I have in my Bible text. This is the synopsis of the book. I can tell you in a nutshell, you know, they say it's the book of the law, but listen to what it says. It says, Leviticus was written by Moses between 1450 B.C. and 1410 B.C. The book of Leviticus takes its name from the 12 tribes of Israel, the Levites, from whose the rank came the priests and served in the tabernacle. Leviticus gives the details of sacrificial systems established by God, the various offerings of their significance, and the duties of the priest. Leviticus also contains the laws dealing with the daily activities of the people, including cleanliness, sexual morality, disease control, and criminal activity. The book of Leviticus was a guide, was the laws, was the commands, was the rules and regulations. Y'all know the Ten Commandments, those most people are familiar with. But there was over 600 rules and regulations. There were holy days, there were ordinances, there were rituals. There was so much in the Old Testament. But look at Leviticus chapter number 25, just one verse, verse number 38. This is what it says. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. God's objective, in a nutshell, was right here in Leviticus chapter 25, verse number 38. I brought you out of Egypt. He said, I heard the cry of my people. You're in slavery. You're in bondage. You're being treated less than a person. And I heard your cry. I'm going to send Moses in a form of a deliverer, and he's going to bring you up out of Egypt. I'm going to send him to you. He's going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Pharaoh's going to resist. I'm going to cast 10 plagues on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh will get the message and let you go, because I'm God. And I'm going to get my way. Come on, somebody. But he says, not only am I going to bring you out to leave you there, my objective is to bring you into the land of Canaan, the land of promise, a better life, a better way of living. And then I brought you out also to be your God. Amen, somebody. And we need to believe this even today. Sometimes many of us got on this journey on different stages in our life, at different moments in our life, but it's a journey. Your walk is not my walk, and my walk is not your walk. But if you stay faithful to God, if you change the way that you think, if you increase your belief in the finished works of Christ, and know Philippians 1:6, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God will do the work if we put our trust in him. In that message on Sunday, I talked about oftentimes Jesus referred to his disciples, and he would use this phrase, ye of little faith. When he was in a boat sleeping on a pillow, they were almost drowned. He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, you have little faith. When he was telling them not to worry about what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear, don't worry about tomorrow, he said, again, ye of little faith. Remember, Peter walked on water, and when he began to drown, and he said, Jesus, save me, and he got him in the boat, and he said, why did you doubt, ye of little faith? In other words, he wasn't putting them down. He was simply saying, have faith in me. Have faith in my ability, not yours. Have faith in what I can do, not what you can do. Put all your trust in me. John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. But connected to me, you will bear much fruit. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So we got, why you, this is why the devil works so hard, and it grieves my heart. When people, I know the prophecy is coming to pass in Matthew 24. He said there's going to be a great falling away before Armageddon, before the apocalypse, before the end times. There got to be a great falling away. Many people are going to stop believing what they formerly believed. Many people's hearts are going to wax cold because of the evil and transgression and iniquity of the day. That's prophesied in Matthew 24. And then he goes on to say, no man knows the hour. Nobody knows the day. Not even the angels, not even the Son of Man. Only God knows when the end will take place. He says even the very elect of God will be deceived in that day. And we see that. And if we're not careful, we'll get discouraged. We'll get frustrated. We'll say, what's the use? And the devil is a liar. That's why I'm talking about sound doctrine tonight. Don't have a form of godliness. Let this thing be real to you. The Holy Spirit comes to us to show us us. The Holy Spirit comes to us to put us in the mirror and show us our vulnerable areas, to show us our weaknesses, to show us what we're susceptible to. Because there go I, but by the grace of God. It grieves me when great men and women of God fall and fall into sin or fall into being deceived by the enemy. But the Bible says this, don't be too conceited. Don't think too highly of yourself. Well, Pastor Anthony, that sounds like you're a little insecure. No, I'm no fool. Come on, somebody. Yes, you can be confident, but don't let it slip into being arrogant. I need God on a daily basis. There's some things that come to my life, that have come into my life, that probably will come into my life, that tries to frustrate me, tries to get me upset, tries to get me in lack of faith or little faith, but the devil is a liar, and I know I'm not by myself. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. The devil will put things in your life trying to get you to go back, put things in your life trying to get you to revert back and find comfort in the things that used to bring you comfort. The enemy will put such circumstance and situation in your life trying to get you out of the will of God if you're not careful. So you got to stay believing, beloved. Let's look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. The devil's working so much overtime. That's why, you know, it's not about you having a good heart. It's not about you being a good person. It's not about you being nice. Because this world is to the degree today where people will take advantage of your kindness. They will use your good heart. They will exploit your good intentions. They will see you as being pure and being and regal and being holy. And they will say, oh, you weak. You're not Eve. And they will step all over you if you're not careful. It doesn't mean you got to be evil like them. It does not mean you got to revert and be cold like the world, but you got to stay on guard. I love the example Jesus left us. He was loving. He was compassionate. He was caring. He showed concern. He got out there amongst the people. He didn't stay in the temple. He didn't stay in Jerusalem. He mingled with the people. So much so that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and the high rulers said he eat with sinners. He interact with the low class. He's out there with the low lives. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He was trying to show them, I didn't come for you righteous folk. I didn't come for y'all who think you don't need help. I came for those who know that they're out of the will of God, that they need a Savior, that they need somebody to help them walk this Christian walk. And this is why we got to look at Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1. Because I believe with that great falling away, some have made the mistake of possibly doing a sinful act, and now the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment, the dark cloud that hangs over many heads, even though repentance is there, forgiveness is there, the grace of God is there, a second chance and opportunity is there. There are many people who feel condemned, who don't feel worthy. They made a decision. Some have made a mistake. And sometimes the enemy, guess what the Bible calls him? The accuser. The accuser of the brethren. He takes our mistakes, he takes our errors, and he throws them in our face at the opportune time and says, yeah, look at you now. You the preacher, you the priest, you the pastor. That's why the book of Leviticus, the priestly duties, the sacrificial offerings, all the laws, all the commandments, all the rules and regulations, guess what? They were supposed to take heed to that. They were supposed to follow all those ordinances, or God was not going to be pleased with them. But now, in Romans 8, we see that Jesus is on the scene. Come on, somebody. This is a new covenant. This is a better covenant. This is a more worthy covenant. It's not what we do, but it's who he is. Amen. Pastor, and you know, when I hear preachers talk like that, or I hear pastors talk like that, it sounds like they're giving people a green light to sin, giving them the right to sin, giving them an okay to do wrong. That's not what we pastors and preachers are saying. The Bible says we're dead to sin. The Bible says die, put your flesh under subjection. The word says take the high road and live holy, be sovereign, live a righteous life. But look at Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul was saying to the church at Rome, the Jews and Gentile alike, don't be condemned if you're in Christ. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus has made us free. That's why I went to Leviticus. Now we are free from all that stuff that was in Leviticus. We are free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, all that stuff in Leviticus couldn't do a certain thing. In that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's you and I. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do not mind the things that are of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6 says this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And he goes on to say, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but they that are in the Spirit pleases God. For as many as are led by the Spirit are of God and the sons of God. You and I got to understand, repentance has been made available. His throne, his altar, his grace is made available for you and I. Because the Bible makes it so trivial that even gossip is wrong in the eyes of God. Come on, somebody. That's why the Bible says all have fallen short and sinned against the glory of God. Paul put gossiping along with murder, adultery, backbiting, lying, cheating, stealing. He put gossiping there. So something as simple as gossip, we need prayer. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So all of us need God. We need Jesus on a daily basis. We need church weekly. I say this not just as a pastor. At New Creation, if you're a member of New Creation, we don't just want to see you on Sunday to feel good about our church, that we have members, that we have people coming, that we can prove to anybody that this, that, and the other. No, our job is to watch out for your soul. And I know the enemy, if you give him a foothold, if you get an enemy room, he's coming in. He told Cain, sin waits patiently at your door. It has all the time in the world for you to give it an opportunity. And sin waits, crouches, waiting for you, Cain. But don't let it master you. You master it. Amen. So I know sometimes I see in this world where you can go to your internet, you can pull up anything on your phone, your smartphone, you can go to your iPad or your laptop, you can go to your desktop at work, and a lot of people are going to stuff and going to sites and letting darkness come in. And the Bible says if we let darkness come in, how dark is that darkness? Whether it's your TV programming, your music, reading certain material or content, we got to be that serious about our walk with God. Oh, yes, we do. Because the enemy is trying to get us in the flesh time and time again. He's trying to get us to satisfy these bodies, to give in to what we do, what we feel in. See, I come to this belief that even when I cannot feel him, I have to believe him.
Amen.
I need to say that one more time tonight. Even when you do not feel him, you still have to believe him. To God be the glory. Because our emotions can be all over the place. If our relationships are falling apart, if our children are in trouble, if our money is acting crazy, if our career is going southward, if our ministry is dying, if things are not going according to plan, if our business is struggling, if life is not working, our emotions can be all over the place. So we can never be led by our feelings or our emotions because they can be misleading. But Paul, David said, this word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let me show you how quickly human nature can turn against God. Go into Exodus. You remember I think a few weeks ago in a Bible study, I went to Exodus 13. He said, I brought you into this wilderness to test you and to prove you. And I told you my wife wrote a book, Don't Die in the Wilderness. But God didn't take them the short way, but he took them to the Red Sea to test them and to prove them. And it was another scripture that said that you didn't lack anything. Although you was in the desert, although you were in the wilderness, you didn't lack food. I gave you manna from heaven. You did not lack food. I gave you quail from the ocean. You did not lack water. I brought it out of a rock. So even in an impossible situation, you did not lack anything. It said the sandals on your feet, although that sand was hot, although that rubber should have melted, although your feet should have been burning up, that y'all could not walk any longer, I did not let even the shoes on your feet wear out. God will preserve you. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I look at my own life. I look at the times I was unemployed. I look at the time I slept on my mother's floor and did not have my own place of residence. I look at the times where things did not go right for me. I was fired from jobs. I was laid off. I look at the moments going through a divorce and going through lack, and he kept me. You know, my wife, when she talks about going from welfare to Wall Street, and she was in the welfare office, and she said she heard other clients and other women recipients cursing out the social workers. I mean, blessing the social worker out. Where's my blankety blank check? You know, they used to look forward to that check coming in the mail like clockwork. And when that check did not come in the mail, that means you could not buy your food, you could not buy your baby diapers, you could not buy that formula, you did not allow your kids to eat that week, so you had to go down to the welfare office, you had to get things straight. It was always a reason why they did not send your check. Either you didn't sign something, you didn't fill out and update your file, you didn't show them that you was looking for a job, whatever it was, the social worker had a reason for holding up your check. And she said she would hear in some of the other booths the people cursing the social worker out. But guess what? In that season in her life, talking about my wife, Pastor Rebecca, she had a little baby girl. She was getting that welfare check. But guess what? God was sustaining her.
Yeah.
Ah, y'all not hearing me tonight. On welfare, she had a way to eat. She had a way to pay her bills. She had a way to pay her rent. God sustained her. She was on her way to Wall Street. She was on her way to making six figures. She was on her way to getting a prominent and respectful career. But guess what? Until then, welfare sustained her. And I've seen it in my own life, in my younger years. I was on WIC. I grew up on food stamps and welfare through my mother. That's why when I tell people I've been employed for 30 years, I make a pretty significant income. I thank God that I'm grateful that he kept me in the marketplace. Oh, but I remember being fired. Come on, somebody. I remember being laid off. I remember having less than. I remember the times not knowing where my next meal was going. I remember. So I'm grateful. So when I'm talking tonight about Lord help my unbelief, I'm talking about what I know. When the devil tries to get me in unbelief, whether I'm behind in my mortgage, whether things are not going according to my plan, whether sometimes I don't see the kind of prosperity or the kind of things that God showed me through significance, I got to stay in faith. I got to stay believing God. If you're still in Romans chapter 8, and I pray you are there, the enemy tries hard to get us separated from our Savior. He wants our sin to separate us. He wants our unbelief to separate us. But listen to what Paul says in verse number 31. I'm going to read it, just that one verse, and then I'm going to show you, because he's going to give some examples. But Listen to what Paul says in verse number 8, verse 31, why we need God to help us with our unbelief sometimes. He says this, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? Verse 35 says this, who shall separate us from the love of God? I can stop right there and talk about that for the rest of the night. Knowing the fact that God loves me, that God loves you. Sometimes we wonder, well, why did I have to go through that divorce? God, why am my body still in pain? Why am I still sick? Why is life still not working? Why do I have this certain situation that I don't want to be in right now? God loves you. And God, knowing that in the name of Jesus, he worked through tests, he worked through trials, he worked through trouble to prove his love to you and me.
Amen.
Paul goes on to say this, listen to this. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Then he goes on to say, no, in all these things. This is why we, you know, we quote it sometimes and we don't even understand why we quote it. This is where the text "more than a conqueror" comes from. We say we're more than conquerors and it sounds good, but Paul gives concrete reason why we're more than conquerors. Because we now handle famines. We now handle persecution. Come on, somebody. We now handle distress and stressful moments. We now handle, if you live, if you're of any age, you now been through tribulation. You now been through a divorce or lack. You've been betrayed. You've been persecuted. He says, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Why? Through him that loved us. Then he goes on to say why he never got to the place of being in unbelief. Because he said, I'm talking about Paul, he said, for I am persuaded. And this is why we got to make up our mind. You know, when he wrote to the church at Rome in chapter number 4, talking about Abraham, the Bible says Abraham was fully persuaded on the covenant that God made with him. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn this so we can see it. When you're persuaded on something, it'll bless you. When you are fully persuaded, you are locked right there. You know, one time, even I'm here in my home, and where I'm teaching a Bible study from in this living room here, my wife and I, it's so funny. But years ago, I don't know if you remember this product called the Kirby. It was called the Kirby vacuum cleaner. Maybe some of you have it. Maybe some of you have purchased this machine. They didn't even call it a vacuum cleaner. They called it a Kirby. It was a vacuum cleaner. Come on. But it was called the Kirby. And they got a little indignant when you called it a vacuum cleaner because it had all these things that it could do. And my wife got a call from a Kirby dealer, and we let this guy into our house. And he was one of the top salespeople. And he was so confident that he could sell us this Kirby. And he came in, and he gave us the spiel, and he talked to us. He was a multi-level marketing person. And he said, you know, it's $800, $700 for this vacuum cleaner, but you can pay for it in such and such installments. And he poured all this oatmeal on our floor, and he vacuumed it up. He poured sand and dirt on our floor, and he vacuumed it up. And this thing was dynamic. It really worked good. And we were impressed. And my wife and I had a discussion. We were going to buy this thing. And then we said, on second thought, we want to talk about it and give it some time. And, you know, we had the hardest we had the hardest time getting that man out of our house. He did not want to leave without us giving him a yes on buying that vacuum cleaner. He was troubled that he could not persuade us and convince us about purchasing this machine. And we finally, you know, we didn't grow up on sometimes the right side of the track. So we had to put a little bass in our voice to get him up out of our home. Because we, even though we were spiritual, we had to show him, listen, we ain't the one. You ain't got to go home, but you getting up out of here. We finally had to put, like my wife said in Jamaica, I'm from Newark. We kind of had to go there to get this guy out of our house, and he saw that we weren't the one. We weren't weak when it came to that. So he finally left, but he was so disappointed. But I say all that to say, listen, be that kind of persuaded about your faith in God. Don't let nothing or no one get you out of faith. Circumstance, disappointment, frustration. And God showed me that today. He said, you know, there's some pastors that are doing things and they're getting results. And you're looking at them and the results that they're getting. and you're seeing fruit. And there's some things that you want to do, talk about me, at New Creation. There's some desires, there's some manifestation, there's some things that I want to see come to fruition. And this is not to covet, this is not to envy, but maybe it's for somebody on this line. There's somebody in business, there's somebody in a career that you want to be in. There's somebody that tried to mentor you, or maybe your mentor. Maybe your protege, or maybe there's somebody that you're their understudy. And you see what they're doing. You see how they got the success. You see how they're making numbers or they're producing. And you get frustrated sometimes because you know if you do what they do, you get what they got. And sometimes if you're not careful and you find yourself in that frustrating place, knowing that if you do certain things differently, you'll get different results. But for some reason, you're being held back. Maybe you're your own worst enemy. Fear, doubt, and worry gets it away time and time again. There are many of us, even in sickness and disease, we know if we change our eating habits, guess what? That's half the battle sometimes in what we're dealing with. But that's why I talked about last week, strongholds.
Amen.
Bad eating habits are a stronghold. Not just the sin nature, not just sinful things. Even bad eating habits can be a stronghold. And we need God to help us to break it, to eat fruits, to eat vegetables, to eat healthy food. God is saying, listen, I'm here to help. I'm here to be the comforter. I'm here to be the counselor. I'm here to be your teacher. I'm here to be your helper. The Holy Spirit has many characteristics. We got to pray. We got to read the Word of God. We got to fast. We have to believe God.
Amen.
And that's not always easy. That's why, you know, I pleaded, you know, I admonish the people of God at New Creation. Read your Word. Study your Bible. This is why I can go to, I don't read the book of Leviticus a lot. But I knew just from my Bible study and my Bible knowledge that the book of Leviticus meant the law. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses, who's about to die, giving them instruction. Joshua is going to be my successor. You're going to get into the land of promise. But the Deuteronomy is to remind you that you're going to have houses that you did not build. I have given you the ability to get wealth. It's all me and none of you. So in the book of Deuteronomy, I'm telling you, I have made this journey possible for you. Don't forget me when you get to where I'm taking you. And there are so many people, my wife reminds our members and our people all the time, when you get the jobs, when you get on your feet, once you get established, help the church, help your pastors, help God's agenda. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this Sunday, but we need workers. We need laborers. We need people to step up. I'm talking about New Creation right now. We need people to be more dedicated, more obligated, more committed. We need it. It can't just be the pastors. It can't just be there are no more Long Rangers. There are no more Robin Hoods. We need a team. We need a team. We need a team. And God is saying, we have it. We have everything we need right now. Everything we need right now, we have in place. Everything we need is in the house.
Amen.
Not just New Creation House, but in your house.
Amen.
Look at what's in your hands. God is dealing with me because when I was in that hospital, I made so many promises, so many obligations. When I could not do anything, it was just me and God. God, I'm going to do better. And guess what? Now that I'm out here free, healthy, and well, some old things are creeping and slipping back in. So this lesson is for me. Lord Jesus, help my unbelief. This journey is for the pastor. Nobody has arrived. This journey is for the pew. This journey is for you. This journey is for me because I want to please my God.
Amen.
So I'm talking to you and I'm talking to me. I can do more. I can be more. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I can give more. I can help more. So I pray that God will help your unbelief, like he's going to help my unbelief. To God be the glory. But I wanted to show you how much we need the Holy Ghost, how much we need God. Go to the Old Testament book of Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter number 32. God brought them out of Egypt. God was their God. In Exodus 13, he led them by a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. But watch what happens in Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. They know they're going into the land of promise. Moses, their leader, brought them out of the land of Egypt. Moses went to Mount Sinai to talk to God. Moses is getting the Ten Commandments. Moses is conversing with God. But Moses is taking too long for the people to get back. Look at verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off your golden earrings, which are in your ears, and your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. And the people broke off all the gold, and they brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned a graven image and into a molten calf. And they said, listen to this, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. This is so horrible. But I want to skip through some of this. Look at verse, okay, they're worshiping this golden calf. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Verse 8, watch this. They have turned aside quickly. You see, it don't take long, church. People of God, it do not take long. This is why we got to go to church. This is why we got to read our Bible. This is why we got to pray daily. Because the enemy, it do not take him a long time to get back in. They have turned quickly, being delivered out of Egypt. I gave them miracles. I gave them signs and wonders. But quickly, they built the gold calf. They worshipped an idol, and they turned quickly from what they knew. They turned quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten golden calf, and they have worshipped it. And God goes on to tell Moses, I'm about to destroy all of them. And Moses said, God, I pray that you don't do it. What would the people around us say? God, have mercy upon them. And Moses went before God, and God repented and gave them grace one more time. But sometimes as a pastor, the clarion call, as a man on the wall, this Bible study was like a warning. Because the devil is so cunning. He is so deceiving. And there's so many great men and women of God who are out of purpose, who are out of the will of God, who wonder why, you know, bad things happen to good people. Listen, all things are going to work for your good. I can't prevent you from suffering. I can't prevent you from persecution. You know, nobody can avoid you from trials, but I know if God allowed it, you can handle it. But when the devil tries to get us back in unbelief, if God was for you, why is all this happening to you? Remember what they told Peter? Where is your God? Things are even worse than what they used to be. Where is your God? People started saying that after 9/11. People started saying that after Hurricane Katrina and even Sandy when it hit New Jersey. You know, people started saying that when things started to go bad with the economy and the recession. We went through George Bush 2 terms, things went bad. People started losing their homes. We went through President Barack Obama, where I don't believe they gave him the opportunity. So for another 8 years, things started going bad, bad, bad. And now we have Donald Trump, and people are already talking now, oh, I hope he don't have another term. How could he possibly even be considered for 2 terms? Guess what? We cannot dance to the beat of this world.
Amen.
We're looking at government. That can be almost 24 years with 3 presidencies. It can be 24 years if we're not careful of things, economically speaking, not going for us Americans. You see why we got to put our trust back in God?
Amen.
Not the marketplace, not why they're not hiring me, why companies are going under, why my business is not failing, why I'm on the verge of losing my home. Guess what? See, America works like this, buying and selling. That's the world system. You got the buyer, you got the seller. But in the kingdom, it's reaping and sowing.
Amen.
The world system is buying and selling. If you're selling a home, I'm buying a home. If you're selling a car, I'm buying a car. If you're selling something, I'm buying something. Stocks and bonds and mutual funds and 401ks, you're selling, I'm buying. But in the kingdom, we sow, and then we reap. So we got to keep sowing. We got to keep believing. We have to keep trusting God. The world system was set up to fail. The world system, if they don't want to do it God's way, that's why I went to Leviticus. That's why I went to Deuteronomy. We already see that Babylonian system will never work. The world system will never work. Babylonian system. The Roman Empire system. Even today's world, we see signs of them former systems which failed. Them former empires which failed. And we got to stay connected to the kingdom system.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to stay in church. I'm going to stay connected to the kingdom. I'm staying with God. I am fully persuaded. But even I get weak. Even I get frustrated. Even sometimes I get discouraged. And this is why when I preach Sunday, I told the people, I'm preaching to myself, Lord, help my unbelief. Our service started 12:30, and, you know, I said, God, what is that? He told me, he showed me, even though, you know, we was on First Street, we started in our living room, now we're in Hillside. I said, God, what is that? He said, that's one of your pet peeves. I said, really? I said, punctuality is a pet peeve of mine? He said, yeah, you're always on time. You take pride in being on time. Your time management, you have gotten to the place in your life where you value time. And sometimes when you don't see that in others, it is a pet peeve. And I have given you grace to understand that part of who you are. Working for FedEx for over 30 years, on the side of our trucks it said, the world on time. That's FedEx logo, the world on time. In other words, I can ship a package from here in New Jersey, and it will get to Europe, another part of the world, by its commitment time, 10:30 tomorrow, That's our next day service to Europe, another continent. We have planes flying throughout the night. It will get to its destination on time, and I worked for that kind of a company for 3 decades. So time does matter to me, and it's just a pet peeve. Maybe you got a pet peeve. Maybe it's something that bothers you about people, or you see in your children, or you see in your spouse, you see in others, that you have mastered this thing, and when you don't see it in others, it bothers you. We got to give it to God. So stay in faith. Stay believing. Trust God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Father, we thank You for the word tonight. I know Your desire is for Your children to do well in this thing called life. We are Your sons, we are Your daughters, and the enemy is busy. The enemy is working overtime to help us to fail, to help us to fall, to help us to back up from what we know to be the truth. So God, I thank You for this word tonight. I know I was a little bit all over the place, and I knew before I got on the line tonight I would be all over the place because You put so much in me. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to talk about, but I trusted You before I came on tonight that You would give me what to say. So, God, I thank You, and I pray that I share what You wanted me to share from my heart. I thank You for New Creation Church. I thank You for the opportunity to shepherd and to pastor. I thank You, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that You're raising me and my wife up to be godly leaders. So, Lord, I thank You for those tonight who press to this Bible study, who have their own goals and dreams and endeavors, their own call and purpose towards ministry that You called them to. So, God, I pray they stay in faith, and I pray they stay believing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. I pray we see you on Sunday on the Lord's Day in the name of Jesus. You know, I didn't go in to work today. I was a little under the weather, but I thank God that He gave me rest, and I thank God that I feel replenished. So on Sunday, we're going to have a great service. Pastor Rebecca will be preaching in Jersey City on Sunday, and New Creation. I pray if you're part of the ministry that you'll have that opportunity to go and support her as she preach at the Holmes Church in Jersey City. And we thank God that we're going to have a wonderful service first in Hillside, New Jersey, in the name of Jesus. That service, we're leaving our service at 3. That service is starting 3:30, 4 o'clock-ish. And I think they go to, you know, whenever the Lord leads my wife to finish, she'll finish. But if you're part of New Creation, I pray that you can go over there to support her in Jesus' name. So God bless. Good night, everyone. Love you. God bless you. Good night.